All right? You say somebody's the greatest. Let's be watching now. You will soon see who's the greatest. The time to demonstrate that Jesus is indeed the greatest has come. And in this nation, it is so in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right, let me just, we have just a few minutes more. I didn't even know we are taking about an hour from the time we started praying. Okay, let me just end that discussion on learning and praying, or praying in the will of God. I just want to read a few scriptures just to emphasize that. You know, last time I said I'll talk to us about it again. Let me review something I said at the beginning about that will of God thing. Please, let's remember. In 1 John chapter 5, we read that it said, this is the confidence we have that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have the request that we have made of him. That's in 1 John chapter 5. In verse 14. And this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. And that's what it says there. And we'll be talking about that for some time, that when he talks about that will of God, and anyone that rhymes with his will, that is his will, then we'll get something from that. No, we said he was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ directly. And the Lord said, abide in me. He said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, that you will ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. And what he was saying therefore is simple. That anyone who is abiding in Christ, and the way by which he does it is for the word of Christ to be abiding in him. Things are generated inside him, and those things become automatically, they come into alignment with the word of God automatically. So the word of God abiding in us is what makes us pray according to the will of God. We have been explaining that. We have seen that the word of God is recorded. It's not something that we leave as an abstract thing. We never can tell, shall I just pray? If it is God's will, he will do it. That will be praying out of faith. Praying in faith means that we learn the will of God. Are you getting my point? And when we know it, we use those words in prayer, and we are guaranteed of answers. I said I want to end with something just for the last few minutes I have today. And that's the fact that there are things that God said we shouldn't pray about, so that when we are praying about them, we are praying out of his will. Are you getting my point? Yes. There are things he said don't pray about, even though they look legitimate. He said, don't worry about those things. All right? But let's read a few scriptures, and then you will see what I'm trying to say. Let's start from the book of Matthew chapter 6, which we all know very well. Now, religion and Christianity are two different things. You know that? What is Christianity? Christianity means that you hear the words of Christ, you take the prophetic words about his person, and you live your life according to that, having committed your heart, your whole being totally to him. That's what Christianity is. Religion is religious practices. That's what religion is. I don't know how else to explain it. When our program starts on Dream FM, tune in, you will hear the series which we have preached on other stations. I began it by explaining that the heart of man, all right, the man, every human being has spirit, soul, and body. And anybody tells there's no God is lying. He's lying. And he knows he's lying. He only pretends on the surface. You understand? And we said that nobody can just say that I don't believe in vitamins, so I will not eat vitamins. I don't believe in vegetables. Why should I eat vegetables? You understand what I'm saying? I don't believe in food. You understand? Whether you believe in water or not, just wait. Time will show you whether you need it. In the same manner, that part of humans called the spirit, it needs food. And it's spiritual. Its food is spiritual. It needs to contact God. A lot of times people are confused, and that's what causes spiritual ill health. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so I'm recognizing that. So in that quest, people go into religion. Two men were joking. Well, they were arguing once. It's a joke I read, and they said that it was a Jew and an Anglican. All right. So after they had argued for a long time, that the Anglican man said to the Jew, "That why are we even quarrelling? After all, we are brothers. You are worshiping God your own way, and I'm worshiping God his own way. That was a joke in it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, what happens is that men often try to worship God their own way without learning to worship God his own way. And Paul said there's a difference. He said that I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not after knowledge. Are you getting my point? Not according to knowledge. He now said that hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. That these people are pursuing righteousness, but not according to knowledge. But the fact is that every man wants to attain righteousness. That's a matter of fact. Some people, because of their failure, they can't reach it. They now deny it entirely. Sigmund Freud calls it rationalization. It's an ego defense mechanism. Yes, go and read Sigmund Freud. At this point, we can't do it. We say it's not there. What is even worth doing itself? We are trying, though, but we can't do it. Say, what are you even doing this thing for? He said, well, you know, some people, they don't try business. You know, work, nothing there. He said, this business thing, say, is not necessary in this life. All you just need is no food, money to just buy rice and beans. Go and check the last 8 years. He was trying to break through. When the breakthrough did not break, so I say breakthrough is not necessary. You know what I'm saying? Now, so a lot of people say there's no God. That's what their problem is. As part of religion, men often do things like praying. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's what I'm trying to explain. As part of religion, they just want to pray. And I'm sorry to say this till today, I've observed it. A lot of things we do in what we call Christianity is not Christianity. It's just that kind of religion. The heart of men just rushing. They need to contact God. But instead of doing it according to knowledge, and the only way you can do it according to knowledge is by learning. Take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. But they don't bother. So when the spirit is crying for contact God, they go for all night prayer. And what do they do in the all night prayer? Since I'm an African, everything is caused by an enemy. So if I try to pray all night, I have to find words. So all my words will be directed at enemies. Because you are trying to contact the realm of the spirit, part of the cry of a man's heart, he now starts praying against all his enemies. But this is knowledge. God said that is not necessary. How do I know? We'll see it in a moment. In fact, let me just quote it. At the time Solomon was asked to ask God for anything, he conspicuously omitted asking God for the life of his enemies. And God said, you did not even ask for that. Are you getting my point? And God was impressed. He said, so you know there are things that are more important than such things. Let's read that Matthew chapter 6. Because again, this part of it, in trying to play religion, we stay up all night praying about our needs. But this is what the Lord Jesus said. I will read the whole thing so I can lay my emphasis as we go on. From verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either we hate the one and love the other, or we hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's not you should not serve God, though. Did he say that? What did he say? You cannot, all right? Because you cannot serve God and mammon, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, or your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his life's span? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field. Observe how they grow. They do not toil, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Somebody say little faith. He said, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, notice something here. The Lord was saying something that Gentiles, when they want to make up their prayer points, we're talking about religion, The prayer points are filled with what? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? And Jesus said, no. When you want to make up your prayer points, it should be about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And automatically, these things shall be added to you. Go and read that Matthew chapter 5, the preceding chapter. There's one thing that let me just add it for those who do not know it before. Let's just read it quickly. The Sermon on the Mount. It said, blessed are those who hunger, verse 6, and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you have a King James, my Bible here, New American Standard, says, for they shall be satisfied. When I was a child, I thought that what he was saying is that if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled with what? Righteousness. I grew up with that until I became a Bible teacher. And then one day I read it, I said, it does not make sense. What did he say? If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled with all these things. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and what shall we clothe ourselves with? That was what the Lord said. That is in spiritual things. It is not just that which you directly are panting for that you get. I said God has tied some things together. We may not realize it. What God has joined together, we cannot put asunder. God says any Christian, any child of God that will be satisfied with good things, material things of life, will be the person who is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. That's why in chapter 6, it now says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You must understand spiritual things. God said, he that runs, I'm paraphrasing it now, if he runs after money as a Christian, the money will run faster away from him. But the one that runs after righteousness, favor will follow him, material things will follow him. You are getting what I'm not explaining. What am I saying? There are things we shouldn't make our prayer points. Now, I've said all of this so I can say this without feeling like I'm blaspheming. Material things that we need must not be an important prayer point for a child of God. I know it's hard. You know, I went round and round and round. Because when I will say it now, you will be like, what are you talking about? Because you've been to church that today, those that say you won't buy that car, today they will be disappointed. It's all night, from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. Prayer point on motor car. Hear ye the word of the Lord, it is not the will of God. That is called praying out of the will of God. Let me say this. Deep your hand in your pocket. Bring out a seed and give it a name. This seed is a heavy one, a dangerous one. It is for my house. This is the seed for foundation. Pastor, next week I'll bring the seed for decking. Before the end of the month, I go bring the seed for roofing. Let me not forget the seed for painting. Hear ye the word of the Lord. That's called praying out of the will of God. You are praying outside God's will. Why? Because what we shall eat, what we shall drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed, is that prayer point. That seed is not a seed of righteousness. It is not seeking God's kingdom. It is seeking selfish aim. It's not the will of God. You say, Pastor Mark, are you saying that if we need something, we can't ask God for it? God help me to balance this properly. There are things you should just say so as to get it off your mind. It's almost like a confession of sin. But the Bible calls it a matter of what? Little faith. What did I call it? What did it say? All ye of what? Little faith. How am I supposed to handle life? I believe this is how Jesus did it. It's called Psalm 23. As Christians said, try and not, look, let me say how, you know how God does things for you. Let me tell you. Hear what I want to say. And it will happen to you. You just be passing one day. Oh boy, this your phone is fine. My God, this phone is beautiful. I really like it. And that's it. You drop it. No prayer point. Nothing about it. 3 days later, you just go, you go somewhere. Somebody say, my friend say, get one phone where I buy. Not sure say I too like him. I won't sell him. I bought this thing for maybe about 85,000, but if anybody give me 50K for it now, I'll give him. Say, yeah. Let me see. He brings out the phone. It's exactly the one you saw 3 days ago. So, but it's nice. I don't get 50K. Take. Is it okay? I know you like it. Okay, my spirit, I really want to have it. What do you have? Oh,
you actually just suddenly have the 85K and the Holy Spirit will say, this money, use it to buy food. He said, can Holy Spirit say such things? He has said it to me before about shoes. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I'm not joking about it. God in heaven is witness. This was in 1993. Was it 93? 94. 1994. I was working in one clinic. I got fired after 3.5 weeks. I got fired. Why did I get fired? We had some disagreements on moral issues. Some girls will come and say they lost something somewhere. They are looking for it. So, and your guy would ask, okay, I should check how many months is the pregnancy, why he goes to find the missing period. So, and I said, okay, no, I know they check. Go and check. And God wants to punish the two of you. Let him punish you without counting me. So the man said, what do I mean? I said, okay, let's not argue about this one. I know they do. So he fired me, all right? So for the 3.5 weeks I had done, I got paid. And I got home that day. It was morning duty, the day I got fired. So I got home early. And there was this pressure on me that to just go and buy a pair of, I needed a pair of shoes. There's this kind of pair of shoes I liked. It was expensive. For that time, it was costly. It was about 3,500 naira when I was earning 6,500 a month. So I'm not talking, it wasn't cheap, all right? But that's the kind of thing, I liked it then, okay? Of course, the problem was not the price of the shoe, it was how poorly we were paid. That's why the margin was so close, you understand? So I said, I'm there to buy these shoes. So I said, I just realized, I will go tomorrow. But something in me just kept on pushing me. Go now. You know, so I just got up and decided to go. I got to my cousin's office, and I just said, one of the drivers, I begged my cousin, I want to go to the island, whether this guy can take me. She said, okay, no problem. I said, let's hit the island. From the time, now, if you know Lagos, from the time we left Western Avenue, drove to Lagos Island, you get my point, inside the market in Lagos, and back to Western Avenue was not up to 1 hour. No, think about it. We left Western Avenue, drove to Lagos Island, drove behind Mandela's, parked inside the market. I came down, went into those places where they sell those Italian shoes, bought a pair, entered the car back, and drove back to Western Avenue, was not up to 1 hour. Somebody say, Holy Spirit. It had to be. I'm serious. It's as if the traffic just opened for us. We found parking space. I came down. The first shop or second one I entered, I just saw the thing, pressed the sharp, paid the fellow, entered my car, go back home. Now this is the Jesus, say, Holy Spirit, yes. That night, my sister came to visit. If you know me, I would have said, you are going back home. Okay, give them to this person. Give to this person. I would have emptied all the money on her. And the Holy Spirit said, he knew that. He said, okay, no, this one, no. Go. As soon as I got back home, the evening, I just got back to the house. Who did I see? My sister. What's the happened? She came to do something in Lagos. I just said, Father in heaven. I just knew that was why I was being pushed. I know me. The way I behave, as she arrives, okay, where are you going? You are going back home. I'll have taken that money that I was paid and shredded it until maybe it remained 500. And I said, this one will be my own pocket money until I start doing another job. The Holy Spirit does such things. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit can do that to you. What's my gist about it? My gist about it is the fact that something you just looked at, you have not even made a prayer point. God gives it to you in 3 days. Are you getting my point? Listen, this is Christianity. Many desirable, good things are good. Let's not make it. These are the things of the world. If a Mercedes-Benz 560, S560 is not the things of this world. It's the things of Mercedes-Benz. It's very nice. Let me just tell you now. No, you know, I have to get these things clear. So what are they doing with it? How can I spend 25 million on a car? If you've ever heard me say it, what I mean is that I don't have it. Nothing spiritual about it. One day I was in an office. You know, so I was just, this was years ago, not now. So I was talking with a lady who was working in the office. We were just talking, the men were talking, she was listening. I said, new car? No, I can't buy a new car. For what? You know, we're just talking about it. So the lady was looking at us like, so what's wrong with a new car now? Because her husband bought her a car, brand new, when Kia just came to Nigeria, Kia Rio. So I said, no, I can't buy a new car. She was just saying, please, Pastor Bank, what's wrong with a new car? I said, new car. And he said, no, you were saying that. I said, it's money now. What is wrong with it? So you thought there was something inside that is bad. I said, anybody tells you that the Bible says lying against the truth. I said, what we are saying is that as things stay right now, if you give us money to buy it brand new, we will shave part of the money for trouser, shave part of the money for shoe, shave part of the money for other things. Then the one that remains, buy Tokumbo, waiting. the lady said, oh, is that what you mean? I said, that's what we mean. No, please, oh, nothing wrong with your car. Your car is the will of God, if only we could afford it. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What is it? What is the point I'm trying to make there? That you see, if you really like something, even if you don't make it a prayer point, God can bless it with you all of a sudden. A day you will come, you'll drive a car, that is, you won't be able to tell your father the price because your father will think you are backsliding and going to hell. There's nothing wrong with buying a Maybach. The difference is whether you have the money or you don't. So if you see a Maybach, greet the owner. Say, exactly, Babake. You say, all correct, sir. I'm not saying it will make you a happy man. You know, yesterday I was watching TV. This is interesting. Christian Amanpo was interviewing a man. He won the Nobel Prize, I think, in economics or something. A professor, you understand? He did the research and said in America, they found out that earning beyond $77,000 a year does not increase your happiness. I said, I'm going to get his book. His book is published. I have to get that book. That if you earn more than $77,000 a year, you are not happier than a man who earns that $77,000 seems to be like the balance. There is a threshold for happiness in America. And they said, what about those who live in New York? He said, yes, including those who live in New York. $77,000 a year is not, for an American, it's not a lot of money. It's not heavy. It's not heavy. You are just scratching into the middle class. So we're not saying that you become happier the bigger the thing. We're not talking about that. What I want to just emphasize, all right, is the fact that, listen, God can give you anything, but does not expect things to be your major prayer point. That's what I'm saying. If you have ever talked to God about car once, that's enough. What did I say? If you ever talked to him about a wife once, that's enough. About money, that's enough. Please, I hope you have heard what I'm saying. Anything you want to own, you want to have, if you've mentioned it once, it's enough. What did I say? It's enough. The fact is this is Christianity for you. God is packaging things you did not even know you needed. A time will come, you will ask God for a flat. He will give you a house that has 7 rooms. No, sorry, that's what you asked. You didn't ask. You just thought about, I suppose move from here. I think it would be better. Ah, Lord, wouldn't it be better? As you are thinking about it, he'll give you a house and you count the rooms, there will be 7 rooms in them. He said, these things are added. And this is Christianity. For those who don't make it a major matter in their lives, they get it faster with more peace of mind. You've heard me say, you will live in a house you did not build. If you are living in a house, you are paying rent, you didn't build it, that's a level of fulfillment. Amen? It is. It's level one. But one day, indeed, you will actually own and possess a house you did not build. And I don't mean that an estate developer built it and you pay though. I mean, if the value is 50 million, you pay 5 million and the house is yours. It will happen to you one day. This is the most important thing. If you wake up in the morning and start saying, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that house that Pastor Mike said will happen one day, it will happen, oh, it will happen. Oh. It will take longer that way. The one that will happen quicker is the person that heard it and forgot it. Are you getting my point? But he has imbibed, her spirit has picked the truth, but it's not making it a matter of priority in life. What is house? Houses are material things. They wear, they become problems after a while. Yes. Some of you, you will so prosper, for all of you, including me. Now, when you finally go home to be with the Lord, your children will know what to do with your house. This house is so big, and they all have their own. So they will donate your house to mission. And it will be a good thing. People will say, you know, that man was blessed. This is his house. It's now the
the what they call where bishops stay. Bishop's Court. For one big church like this. Are you serious? In fact, his other house, I heard his second son just gave that one and said that it's where the Bible, what they call, those seminarians, Abby? Those people are in seminary. That's where they will be staying when they come for practice. But listen, those who make it a major prayer point, that's not their portion. But those who don't even think about it, just not as if they say it's the things of the world we don't want. No. They said these things will be added. Somebody say it will be added to me. It can't be my prayer point. Say it now. It can't be my prayer point. Say, so what should be your prayer point? I'm looking at my time. We really have to worry. All right, there are things like that. In fact, let's just read the story of Solomon. Just to emphasize the fact that it's not everything we make prayer points. So there are things you shouldn't pray for. That's what I'm saying. Those are the things you shouldn't pray for. I break this into that because of time. I'll just rush, mix them up. But I break them into four. Things you should not pray for. Things you must not pray for. No, things you cannot pray for. Things you should not pray for. Things you must pray for. And there was the fourth one. I can't remember. But let's just continue preaching. The Lord is good. So what are we reading? 1 Kings chapter 3. Yeah, let's read that one. Now, you know the story. I don't want to read the whole thing. But let's just read from verse... when God appeared to him in a dream in verse 5 in Gibeon, he said, ask what you wish me to give you. Then Solomon said everything, and now at the end of this, he said, now, verse 9, so give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of thine? And it was pleasing in the sight of God, verse 10, that Solomon had asked this thing. Are you seeing that? That is not every request that we gather to around in church these days that's pleasing to God. Some is more like they are people of little faith. Don't be angry with them. Some is just particularly angry about them. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but I've asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. That is amongst the kings in Israel was saying. And I have also given you what you have not asked. People, you think it's only things you ask for that God gives you? It is not only the things you ask for that God gives you. That's the point I'm making. Are you getting my point? But based upon the kind of things you are asking for, he will give you other things you did not ask for. I make bold to say a lot of people are distracted. They are wasting their prayer time, you understand, to get things from God that he would have added to them if they had asked him for things that were greater. That is, there are women who go to church as an example and they are praying, God, this year, you will give me my twins. They did that the first year, second year. God said, no, well, I know the vex. Eventually, the prayer goes strong enough. You go download twins. He said, but if only this woman had come and said, how can you give me such a wonderful man of God as a husband? Give me a heart that can be a wife to bring out the best in him. I forgive and triplet. I don't know whether you get the point. He said, a triplet and for, you know, there's download, then there's push. Oh, those of you who know computer things. One day, I bought a computer straight from Dell. So I did something with the computer. I formatted it because I wanted to party. I did some, you know, some, not wuru is legitimate. So I tried to use the computer after the thing not agree work. Now I get another computer, I quickly hit the Dell website, we begin chat. Oh boy, I buy this computer 2 months ago. I did one or two things. It's not working. What have I done wrong? The fellow finally told me, okay, my drivers, I removed the drivers. I didn't have it. He said, didn't they give me a driver CD when I bought the computer? I said, no. He said, okay. Now listen to this. He said, can you connect? Let me push the drivers into your system. That was my first time. The guy was in somewhere, whether in India or US, but whatever, was a day representative. He said, I was Nigeria. He said, if I could get online with that computer, that he would have just pushed the drivers into the computer. I had never heard of it. Normally, when you want to download, you click, and then you download. There are a lot of prayers we are trying to use to download. But God said, click on the proper things. I will push other things into your system. That was my first time hearing of push. And I told him that, no, I'm using another computer. And I said, okay, now send me the download links. So I now downloaded the drivers, you understand later. But the point here is that the guy said he was going to, if I was connected, he would have pushed the things. Ha! I said, Father, thank you. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What am I going to explain? God said, if you pray some correct prayers, like Solomon did here, I will have pushed blessings into you. Many people are trying to click. Click here, right click. You know, free download manager. Click, click. They've been clicking. Because you see, this thing when you have to click, it depends so much on you and your own personal connection. But if I have to push it, I arrange my connection and do what? I push. But the push is dependent upon me praying the proper prayers. Many of the prayers we are praying, even though God may eventually answer them, we have wasted precious time in focusing on things we should not pray for instead of things we should pray for. And those things we shouldn't pray for will have been added to us as an addition. So he said, because you did not ask for this, but you asked for this, he was saying to Solomon, he said, listen, what you have asked for, I have given you. But I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor. So that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. He said, if you walk in my ways, keep my statutes and commandments as your father walked, then I will prolong your days. Now notice that. That is what he got, all the riches for which we talk about Solomon till today, was not a prayer point. Are you getting my point? Because of time, let me just rush over to some other things that should be prayer points. One, let's take the life of Solomon. That should be a prayer point. You must constantly, these are the prayer points of life. You must constantly pray to God for understanding. One, understanding of his word. Just so that you will have understanding. That's one. Number two, understanding concerning your purpose in life. Let me add to it. Understanding concerning how to effectually fulfill the will of God for your life. Because you can see that's what Solomon was doing. He said, Lord, you have made me a king. I'm young. You see, you've blessed my father, blessed his household. Therefore, you have installed me as a king amongst a great people. Please, give me wisdom. Give me discretion. Give me understanding so that I can be effective in discharging this duty. And God said, wait, doing the will of God for your life is more important than you enjoying life? I think it's a problem we have today. We've preached as if Christianity is about how much we can enjoy on this earth. So we say John the Baptist does not know the gospel. That's why he was wearing locusts. Sorry, was he wearing locusts or eating locusts? He was eating locusts. I'm wearing goat skin. Because we are so fixated on material things, we forget that the man did what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to introduce Jesus Christ. People say he was not supposed to be beheaded. I've known something about God at the end of the day. When he won't kill you, kill na kill sha, you know, and then they behead you or smoke you or fry you or you'll fall down and die. When it's time to die, forget that side. You're getting my point. Let's focus on whether it was right at that time. And from my understanding, the man came, did one duty, he did it effectively. So much that Jesus said, of all the men born of women, none, including Moses and Samuel, including Solomon, none was as great as John the Baptist. Why? He said, he must increase, I must decrease. And the man decreased until he near zero. Yes. Go and read all the disciples of Jesus. They were first disciples of John, then they disappeared. The gospel of Jesus started with John. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Who preached it first? John. Jesus never preached until John stopped preaching. He was teaching in small circles, talking to his disciples. The moment he heard John had been taken into custody, that was the first time he openly, you know, in the open, opened his mouth to preach. when he heard John had been taken into custody, said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." What am I saying? Let's focus on John. Forget his cloth. Let's focus on the will of God that he executed. You can be sure of one thing. John did not like fine cloth. He didn't like it. What am I saying? I'm not saying you shouldn't wear fine cloth. If you like it, you will wear it. Amen? Amen. Listen, you will. For every one shirt you want, God will give you 500. In fact, whether it's amen or not, you're already condemned to that level. That's what they call the sentence of life. I've passed the sentence of life upon you with the word of God. You know, when they condemn the man to death, who cares whether he says yes or no? You shall be hung by the head neck till you are dead. If you like, protest. I can't hear today, they are flying you. In the same manner, if you have given attention to the word of God, hear the sentence of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, this is the sentence of God. You'll be blessed beyond your imagination in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. In fact, I want to pray on that one. Don't even say amen, because it's a matter of fact. You'll be blessed beyond your imagination in Jesus' name. Don't say anything. It's a sentence. You are getting what I'm trying to explain? Yes. So if you like it, fine. But we should be more concerned about what? The will of God, to execute the will of God, the judgment of God for our lives. That's an important prayer point. You should wake up at night and say, "Lord, where's my life going? How am I going to be effective for you? I have a call towards this ministry. This is the work I'm doing right now. I think it's obstructing this ministry work, or this thing I really like to do. How do I work around this?" There are times God will say, "I know they are paying you well, but you don't need the money. Come out." Yes. There are times he'll say that. "I know they are paying you well, but you know, you don't need the money. I'm telling you, you don't need the money." Yeah, those are the important prayers we should pray. There are prayers that God gave as a commandment that we should pray. For example, he said, "Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into his harvest field." It's an important prayer point. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. This is a commandment. And now you, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the harvest field. When he was praying about talking about the judgment of Israel, he said, this is a prayer point. Pray that the flight will not have to be during Sabbath. Let me summarize. You can pray. These are important prayer points, because when people are doing things that are bad, you cannot pray that God will not judge you. You can only pray that God will mellow the judgment. Show mercy when he can show mercy. But God has to judge evil to drive it out of the land. That's what he meant when he said, pray that your flight will not be during the Sabbath. Those are the things we were talking about. You can pray to mitigate the effects of judgment, as it will affect you as an individual. You can pray those prayer points. Are you getting my point? It is important you pray for the prosperity of a land. It's important you pray for the security of the people in that land. Those are important prayer points. That's how to be God's prophet on the earth. The things that he wants to do, you are praying them into existence. One of the problems we have, where the church in Nigeria may be, all right, and many other places also, they have not been affected, that our prayer points have been too centered on our problems. And God said, if they will have prayed the proper prayers, I will have solved your problems without you having to think about them. A whole church gathered in Nigeria, and the prayer is that, "Hey, today, anybody where they carry your name, go places, it go carry and loss." That's a stupid prayer point. What did I call it? A stupid prayer point. I want to carry my name to places, your personal problem. My name was on the internet. Where else do you want to carry it? You Google on my name, you find it. Google. What should the church be gathered around? We should have been gathered around praying. All right, not just when we are afraid. Not something we pray when we are afraid. Boko Haram is coming. In Jesus' name. That is one. That is, it's not too bad, but that's not the only time to pray such prayers. There are times they are not even attacking you. You don't like the way the word of God is going in the nation. It's a prayer point. You should gather and pray about it. You are getting what I'm saying? The church should gather and pray for politics in Nigeria. The way politics is done. We should gather and pray for righteousness in government. That is, we gather beginning to the end. It's all about the president, the vice president, the members of Senate. We are praying for them and praying serious worded prayer. At the end of the day, everybody go home. But we'll turn it the other way around. Paul said, first of all, petitions, prayers, thanksgiving should be made for kings and men who are in authority. But we do it last of all. First of all, I never chop. Second of all, my enemies will not give me chop. Third of all, my mouth will not open to chop. Then before we go, let's remember our president. He's the most criticized president in the world. Oga Jonathan says he's the most criticized president in the world. Let's remember him. God bless him and his wife's appendix. Amen. At the end of the day, we'll go home. What should have been our first of all is now our last of all. Let me close, I beg. I've really overshot the time now. Let me just close. Let me just stop there and just close there so we can go home. I hope you were blessed today. I hope you learned something today. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's just pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Father, we thank you. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, we thank you. Thank him. Thank him. Because your needs are met without you focusing upon them. Like I said, anything comes to your mind, get rid of it from your mind by uttering it to God. So then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts. It's just a one-off thing. When it wants to be a disturbance to your soul, you utter it to God in prayer so as to get it out of your mind. It's not the focus of your prayers. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because even things that I am not asking for, you are to me. Right now, say, Lord, give me understanding in your word. Give me understanding concerning my purpose in life. How can I be more effective in the things I'm supposed to do for you and be of service to humanity as you have given me life to be able to accomplish? Say, Lord, thank you for the blessing upon my nation. Thank you because you know all my needs, so I'm not going to worry about them. Say, Lord, I give you all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Surely, God's goodness and his mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Cheer up, brethren.